Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have no relationships to disclose. So, as you just heard, Bar High is a collaboration of the 11 health departments in the San Francisco Bay Area, including the City of Berkeley, which is actually in the County of Alameda, but it has its own health department, and the County of Santa Cruz, which is outside of the immediate metropolitan area of San Francisco. I mean, in the mid-90s, the local health department officials started coming together to address how collectively with a regional approach, we could address health inequities. Many of the same communities were facing the same types of inequities across the counties, and we thought that by coming together, we could address many of the underlying causes of health inequities having to do with the things that are dealt with on a regional level, such as land use, transportation, air quality, housing, etc. And we formed in 2002 and have grown every year. For those of you that aren't that familiar with the San Francisco Bay Area, we're a large urban area with about 7.5 million people, at least according to the last census. The mission of of Bar High is to transform public health practice for the purpose of eliminating health inequities using a broad spectrum of approaches that create healthy communities. And I'll be sharing with you some of the approaches of our internal capacity committee. We have several committees to carry out the work of Bar High, focusing on building up our capacity around working in the built environment, on learning more about how we can engage better with communities. We have a community committee. We have a committee that focuses on data, on identifying indicators and helping us use data to move this work forward. And we have our internal capacity committee, which is focused on building the capacity of health departments to do this kind of work. So before I start, I just wanted to address the question of health inequities versus health disparities, since health inequities obviously is very prominent in the name of our organization. We've chosen to use this term because we feel that the term health disparities acknowledges that there are differences in health outcomes, but doesn't necessarily relate those to the patterns of social inequalities that are also existing in society. And it's a term that's used almost exclusively in the U.S. Health inequities is a term that's used most around the rest of the world. So health inequities is defined as differences in health status and death rates across population groups that are systematic, avoidable, unfair, and unjust. And they're sustained over time and generations and are beyond the control of individuals. And they follow usually the larger pattern of inequality in society. The Internal Capacity Committee was developed to enhance the capacity and the collaboration of multiple health departments to effectively eliminate health inequities. As I said, we came together as health departments, and so we needed to look at how can we together figure out how to change our organizations and build our workforce capacity to be able to address health inequities. When we first came together, we looked at some key questions to help, when the ICC, the Internal Capacity Committee, first came together, we looked at some key questions to help guide our work. One was, what are the characteristics of a public health department? And then what are the skills and abilities needed by public health department staff to effectively address health inequities? And then we used these guiding questions to guide one of our first products, which is this organizational self-assessment toolkit. In terms of the organizational attributes, the things that we've identified are one, an institutional commitment to addressing health inequities, hiring to address health inequities, having structures that support true community partnerships, supporting your staff to address health inequities, having transparent and inclusive communication, having institutional support for innovation, creatively using categorical funding, having community accessible data and using that for planning just in general with the community. And then having administrative processes that make it easy for new kinds of work to be done and for the community to engage effectively with the health department. In terms of the attributes that we felt were necessary for the workforce, they are that the workforce has a knowledge of the public health framework, which we mean the basic things around 10 essential services, core functions, basic program planning and implementation, the use of data, that sort of thing. That they understand what are the social, environmental, and structural determinants of health. That they have knowledge of the community, that's the surrounding community that the health department works in. They have leadership skills, collaboration skills, community organizing skills, the ability to solve complex problems, cultural competency and cultural humility skills, And then some specific personal attributes around, such as, you know, the ability to be a good listener and I can't even remember what the other ones were at this moment. So we set out to develop this tool. Once we had these key questions and some key traits that we were looking for, we turned those into competencies. We worked with a consultant to develop a set of tools and to pilot test them. And so first we developed competencies, and we did we used a literature review to validate the different competencies that we were developing. We looked at public health literature, organizational development literature, and organizational and cultural competency tools, some of which will be discussed today. And then we developed indicators, and then a set of different instruments, five different instruments. And that ended up being our self-assessment process. We developed the process and we pilot tested it at one of our local health departments, at the City of Berkeley Health Department. It's a health department with approximately 100 staff, and they volunteered to be the department where we both pilot test the instruments as well as the whole process for implementing the assessment. Once we completed the assessment, we started putting all our findings together into a toolkit that we could share. Originally, it was just meant for our health department partners, but then we realized that many, many more people around the country were interested in getting their hands on this as well. And we've, you know, set out and done extensive revisions on this toolkit. We sent it out for peer review, and some of the peer reviewers, you know, that I'm eternally grateful for are here today. And then they gave us wonderful feedback. We further revised the toolkit and finally completed it Friday. It was finally, the final design was completed Friday, and we're now ready for dissemination. So this is the toolkit. My coworker Selena is going to be sending out five copies, which unfortunately we need to get back. It's going to be available on our website in a couple of weeks. As soon as I get back, I'm going to start working with our designer to make sure it gets up on our website, and it'll be available for download as well as any of the other tools that Bar High has created. So what's in the toolkit? The toolkit's kind of, it's got information on what you should do before you do the self-assessment in terms of figuring out if you want to do this assessment and how you get ready to do it, what you should do during, and then how you use the results after. So in terms of before, we have a checklist that organizations should go through to decide if they're ready to take this on. It's a large endeavor. It requires a huge level of commitment from the leadership, and it's a process that needs to be seen through from the beginning to the end. An estimate of how much time and what materials it'll take, and you know, a budget around that. A bibliography of the sources we looked at, and the lessons learned from the pilot test, the pilot testing process. So what's in the toolkit during is a detailed guide on implementation for each of the instruments, which I'll be going through in a minute. And a roadmap that this came out of our peer review. The assessment process is very lengthy, it's extensive, and there are five different tools that look at different aspects and look at different people who are participating in these different instruments. And so in order to be able to tailor the assessment, if you can't do all of the instruments or you don't want to do every question within the instrument, we developed a roadmap, which I'll go into in a minute, to link back each question back to the indicator so you could figure out which questions you want to do. We included some tips from the Berkeley experience and then a guide of how you carry. The surveys are done online, and so we have a guide on how you do this online survey. And then some sample communications that you could use to communicate with the different participants and the instruments for the tools. And a glossary of all the terms that are being used in the different questions in the instruments. We developed the key terms, trying to keep in mind a medium literacy level, and these are complex concepts, and we try to make them as simple as possible and have examples that illustrate the nuanced differences between these different terms. Oops. And then the instruments themselves. This is an example of a tip from the Berkeley pilot that these are scattered throughout the implementation section. So this is a tip from Berkeley on how they were able to increase their response rate. And they had an 81 completion rate for their staff survey. They basically put out that, you know, if 90% of the staff completed the survey, everyone would be included in a raffle for $10 gift certificates to a popular coffee franchise in the Bay Area called Pete's, and then five Target gift cards, and then lower raffle prizes for lower completion rates and so on and so forth, and they got an 80% completion rate. So what's in the toolkit after? We have guidelines on how to carry out the analysis, sample tables and reporting guidelines so that you could use those if you'd like. And then a tool that you could use for action planning based on the results of your assessment. So the tools. We have two web-based surveys, one that's geared towards health department staff and one that's geared towards collaborating partners. The collaborating partners one is much shorter than the staff survey. The health department staff, it could be, we had designed it to be all health department staff, but you can tailor it to the staff that you'd like. We have focus groups that are around using, I've done with a cross-section of health department staff, and interviews with management and leadership staff. And then a guide of how to look at your internal documents and have guiding questions to look at your internal documents, and then a worksheet where you can summarize HR data that you gather. This is an example of the roadmap that I mentioned, where one of our original domains was institutional commitment to address health inequities, and then we have specific elements within those, like for example that there's institutional commitment and practices that address health inequities, and then four different of the instruments address that, and then there's the question numbers that are related to that in each instrument, and then the ones that are bolded are the questions that we consider pivotal questions. If you can only pick, two or three, pick those if you can't do all of them. The staff survey, as I said, is administered online. It doesn't have to be administered online. It certainly makes data entry much simpler if you have it administered online. We recommend it be administered to all staff, although that can be tailored to your individual needs. And it spans five broad areas: health department planning and policies, how collaboration takes place within the health department as well as outside of the health department with external partners and policymakers, how you work with community residents to address health inequities, and how you support staff to address them in this kind of work, The collaborating partner survey is also administered online, or it can be administered manually. And we have some guidelines in there about really thinking about who your partners are and whether the partner survey is the appropriate tool for your partners, depending on their literacy levels and their comfort with using computers. Depending on who your partners are, you might want to tailor the questions to maybe a focus group or some other kind of way of gathering information, the same kind of information from them, or interviews done by somebody. You have to select who the group of partners are, and we give some guidelines on how you should go about partner selection. You should try to have a varied set of partners, and not just the partners that are your friends. If you've had some tense relationships, it might be good to get some anonymous feedback about why that relationship didn't work that well. The content spans five broad areas: how they see the health department's role and commitment to addressing health inequities, how they see staff members' commitment and understanding of what health inequities are about, how they feel that they can collaborate with the health department and do the administrative processes and decision-making support partnership, how is community input taken in to the health department, and how does the health department communicate with the community, and then what are the efforts that the health department has to build the capacity of the community to address health inequities. The staff focus group is we recommend that both for the focus groups and the management interviews that you should have an external facilitator. It doesn't have to be a paid consultant. In Bar High, when we designed this, we designed it with the idea that we would partner up. So one health department would decide to take on the assessment, and a partner health department would provide some staff who could then facilitate the focus groups and the management interviews to make it much more likely that people will answer honestly when they're being asked questions. For the staff focus groups, we do a cross-section of the organization, so you get a lot of different kind of information from people who have different senses of awareness of what's going on in the organization. And it explores the culture and how staff are supported, what are the skills and practices that are critical for understanding what health inequities are about, how diverse is the organization and how culturally competent is it, how does the organization work with the community, and how is staff input brought into organizational planning to address health inequities. The management interviews are done with lead staff and key management staff. Also, we recommend an external interviewer, as I said, and that explores the mission, vision, and the values of the health department, how planning takes place, what's the culture regarding organizational and workforce development, once again, diversity and cultural competency, how decision-making processes take place, what are the efforts to build community capacity, and then what are the administrative processes. The internal document review, we give you some guiding questions to help identify the priority areas of your inquiry. This could be very extensive, or it could be minimal, depending on your resources and your interest in what you'd like to find out from your internal documents. It's a systematic review of the organization's documents relating to human resources, data and practices, the budget documents, and then program materials. That really looking keenly at your program materials and see what you're really addressing and how you really are working in partnership. And then we have a human resources worksheet to summarize all the HR data you collect. This explores the institutional commitment and the capacity to address health inequities. So in terms of lessons learned from the pilot test, the key lesson learned is that there needs to be a strong commitment from leadership in order for this to take place and be carried out. If you're the lone ranger in your organization trying to bring around health equity work, you're likely not going to be able to make this happen. Because you need to be able to really assess the readiness of the organization to carry this on. You need to identify the resources that are going to be used to do this. There needs to be a commitment to free up staff time to participate both in we recommend there being a strong implementation team, which I'll go into in a sec, and as well as staff participating in the surveys and the focus groups and interviews. And then also thinking through, like, if we do this assessment, what do we hope to get out of it? Because if you do go through this whole process of doing this and then end up not doing anything with it, you're going to have raised a lot of expectations, and there'll be a lot of upset people both in the community and within your staff. So the key thing is to have strong leadership commitment. Then you need to develop an implementation team within the organization with a designated lead to help shepherd this whole process through. And it should have representatives from, depending on how your health department is divided up, representatives from your different divisions or, if you have different sites, so that you'll have someone who can kind of be a cheerleader at the different through the different programs and divisions to carry this through. And they'll be the people that that tailor the questions and then, communicate about it happening. So one of the key lessons learned from Berkeley is that just through going through the process of this assessment, staff get engaged around health equity work. Expectations get raised about what you're doing and awareness is raised. Communication between all levels of the communication before, during, and after is very important. You need to, like I said, allocate the staff time. Incentivizing staff participation, at least in Berkeley's experience, was very helpful. You need to ensure that there's confidentiality. People need to feel safe that whatever they say is not going to come back and haunt them later. You need to have strong and knowledgeable focus group and facilitators and interviewers who are experienced doing facilitation of this kind and also familiar with the topics that are being discussed. You need to use the assessment results to develop some strategies afterward. you need to be prepared to receive feedback. As you can imagine, this type of assessment really touches on some very sensitive topics. And in a lot of ways, if you think about it, it's going to be geared towards management practices in the long run. So you need to be prepared to receive that feedback and be okay to do something about it and understand that as the leaders of organizations, if the organization is going to change, it has to be on the leaders. So in terms of what Berkeley did with their assessment results, they brought about some structural changes. They developed a Public Health 101 training series focused on health equity that they've developed and delivered to their staff. They developed an ISMS work group, which focuses on racism, classism, sexism, that sort of thing, that actually was very pivotal in taking the results and coming up with some recommendations. They also really looked at their management, hiring, and their promotional practices and have altered their practices based on the feedback that they got from the assessment process. And they've done some reorganization. They had to do a lot of layoffs related to budget cuts, but they've reorganized the organization so that they can better address health inequities based on what they learned from the assessment. The ISMS work group, as I said, they analyzed the results of the assessment. And they made recommendations for departmental changes, and they developed a proposal for their leadership team. One of the main changes in Berkeley that resulted in terms of changes was that now, as opposed to there being just that there's basically two advisory bodies to the director of the health department. There's one that's made up of key leaders, key management staff, and now there's one that's made up of staff that's very diverse and across the organization, and the recommendations of both are weighted evenly for the director, whereas before it used to be that the decision-making and recommending power really was in the hands of the leadership staff only. They also develop some staff activities around doing educational sessions and cultural awareness events, and some trust building events. So that's it in terms of my presentation. I'll be available for questions. I've sent around those copies, so you can feel free to look through it. And that's it. Thank you.